You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Now more about divorce, repairing, and recovering. This side contains two messages by Dr. Dale Meyer. The first is titled, Forgive Your Ex, and deals with the problems and blessings of forgiveness.
O Almighty and Eternal God, now that you have assured us of the completion of our redemption through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, give us the will to show forth in our lives what we profess with our lips. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. That prayer gets right to the heart of today's message. We prayed that God would give us the will to show forth in our lives what we profess with our lips. We talk so much about forgiveness, but do you have the will to forgive your ex? We're not talking about forgiving and forgetting. You'll never forget your divorce and many of the terrible things that went with it. We're not saying that you should like your ex. On this side of heaven, some of us have personalities that clash. That doesn't make hatred okay, but forgiving does not mean that you love each other's personality. We're not saying that you should condone the wrongs that your ex did. A wrong is wrong. God has forgiven us sinners because of all that Jesus Christ did, but God still does not approve of sin. Forgiveness doesn't equal those things, but don't get the wrong idea that forgiveness is easy. It isn't. God says this in Ephesians chapter 4, get rid of all bitterness and temper and anger and shouting and slander, along with every way of hurting one another. Be kind to one another and tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Forgiveness brings true freedom. Many a divorced person has desired freedom for a long time. Oh, I can't wait for this divorce to become final, and I'll be free. Free of him, his disgusting habits, his affairs, his domineering ways, his keeping me from living my life. I'll finally be free of him. Or, I'll be free of her and her nagging. She's dissatisfied with everything I do. She doesn't understand me. She's cold. I'll finally be free of her. One divorce woman put it this way. After the divorce was granted, she said that she felt like a bird who could fly free. But the more we talked, the more it became painfully obvious that this legal freedom has all sorts of limitations. There may be visitation squabbles, child support payments, alimony, division of property, and the like. When you're saddled with those things, are you really like a bird who can fly free? And what about your emotions? Bitterness, anger, running your ex down, the hours, even the years you waste churning over the terrible things your ex put you through? No legal order of divorce can free you from those emotions. They eat you up. These feelings are like a ball and a chain. You don't fly free with a ball and a chain holding you down. The fact is, you won't feel free until you can forgive. Another woman said it this way, hatred was only destroying me. I knew I had to forgive him if I was going to get on with my life. First, you must learn to forgive yourself. When you were married, you wanted your marriage to succeed. I came across a study recently that indicated that 80% of people think marriage should last a lifetime. When you got married, you agreed with Jesus' words, what God has joined together, let no one put asunder. You didn't get married for the purpose of getting divorced, but things went wrong. and the marriage seemed to become a slavery, the bonds of holy wedlock, as some people sometimes say. Even if your ex was incompatible, unfaithful, abusive, drunk, or whatever, it didn't work out the way you and others wanted. And that results in feelings of failure, of shame. You feel like you've let so many people down. The children. What have you done to the children? Perhaps you feel like you let your parents down. They had such high hopes for your marriage. You must have disappointed your friends. Some of them seem to be avoiding you now. You didn't measure up to the expectations that you had when you got married. And maybe I should have hung on just a little longer. Maybe I should have done just one more thing. One person told me it would have been easier to die than to go through her divorce. Well, you may now be legally free, but you won't be truly free until you can forgive yourself. God sent Jesus Christ to forgive you. This is a real forgiveness, earned for you at the greatest cost. Christ gave up his freedom as the eternal, glorious Son of God. He who is an eternal spirit took on our flesh. He became human. He who as an eternal spirit did not suffer from human passions became human, and he knows firsthand our feelings. This divine and human person, Jesus Christ, was arrested, bound, and led to a cross where he was executed. No freedom there. And as he died a slave's death on the cross, Jesus Christ earned your freedom. He set you free from eternal punishment for your sins. He transformed the terrors of death into an entrance into heaven. He broke your bondage to the devil and evil. Jesus Christ won this freedom for the soul by paying the price for your sins to God the Father. Does the Father want you to know this inner freedom of the soul? He sure does. That's why he restored his son, Jesus, to life on Easter morning. Christ is now alive. You are forgiven. God's word of forgiveness in Jesus Christ is your true freedom. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, "If then the Son sets you free, you will certainly be free." Romans 8:1 says, "So now no condemnation remains for those who are in Christ Jesus." You need to hear that word of forgiveness and freedom again and again and again. No condemnation remains for those who are in Christ Jesus. Day in and day out, you'll have those feelings of failure that accuse you. So again and again and ever again, you need to combat your guilt with a word of forgiveness. That battle within your soul, God's word of forgiveness against your feeling of failure, is an ongoing struggle. Day by day, we all have to tell ourselves that God has freed us from guilt. Paul says in Galatians 5, "Christ has freed us so that we will be free. Stand firm then, and do not get caught again under a yoke of slavery." Remember that when your memories accuse you. When you remember how you contributed to the breakdown of your marriage, tell yourself, "Yes, I did that, but I am forgiven." When you bump into your ex and he or she opens up an old wound, say, "Yes, that may be, but I am forgiven." When your children make you feel guilty because of the hardship divorce has worked in their lives, say, "Yes, this hasn't been easy for you, and I'm sorry, but I am also forgiven." When you feel you're not making it as a single parent, or when child support payments seem to be more than you can handle, tell yourself, "Here's the evidence that sin is terrible in its effects, but Christ bore my sin. I am forgiven." 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20 say, "This is how we will know that we are living in the truth and how we will reassure our consciences before Him. Whenever our conscience condemns us, God is greater than our conscience, and He knows everything." God has declared your freedom from sin and guilt. Comfort yourself with that when your conscience accuses you. And then, let Christ's generous forgiveness free you to forgive your ex. Jesus told this parable in St. Matthew chapter 18. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began to do so, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. When this slave could not pay the debt, the master ordered him, his wife, his children, and all he had to be sold in order to settle the account. Then the slave fell on his knees and, bowing low before him, begged, "Be patient with me, and I will repay you everything." The master felt sorry for the slave, freed him, and canceled his debt. But when that slave went away, he found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay what you owe," he said. Then his fellow slave fell on his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will repay you." But he refused. Instead, he turned away and had him put into prison until he would pay what he owed. When his fellow slave saw what had happened, they felt very sad and came and told their master the whole story. Then his master sent for him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I canceled all you owed me because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have treated your fellow slave as mercifully as I treated you?" His master was so angry that he handed him over to the torturers until he should pay all that he owed. That is what my Father in heaven will do to you if each of you will not heartily forgive his brother. Your feelings about your ex are not only like a ball and chain that keep you enslaved to destructive emotions. Sometimes your feelings are also like a baseball bat. Whenever you want, you can take your feelings and use them to clobber your ex. On one hand, you may say, "Yes, I forgive my ex," but then you keep those bad feelings handy. It's like keeping one hand on the bat. Whenever something happens that upsets you, you grab onto those feelings and you clobber your ex. Maybe you clobber your ex directly with a tongue lashing. Maybe you clobber your ex by running him or her down in front of someone else. Maybe you do the clobbering only in your private thoughts. "That no good so-and-so," you say to yourself. Are you God that you can decide when to forgive and when not to forgive? You haven't really forgiven your ex until you take your hand off that baseball bat and stop using your emotions to clobber your ex. Now, this is easier said than done, I know. Just as you daily need to apply the word of Christ's forgiveness to your own feelings of failure and guilt, so you'll need to go daily to the Bible and burn into your mind the passages that tell you how to feel about your ex. Passages like Matthew 6, where Jesus says, "For if you forgive the sins of others, your Father in heaven also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive the sins of others, your Father will not forgive your sins." Romans chapter 12, "Do not let evil conquer you, but conquer evil with good." 1 Peter chapter 2, "This is what you were called for, seeing that Christ also suffered for you and left you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. He never sinned, nor was found to be deceitful when he spoke. When others abused him, he did not abuse them in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but left it in the hands of him who judges fairly." And of course, the key text for today's message, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, "Get rid of all bitterness and temper and anger and shouting and slander, along with every way of hurting one another. Be kind to one another and tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you." And by the way, don't wait with your attitude of forgiveness until your ex apologizes to you. That may or may not happen. You hadn't apologized to Christ when he came and freed you from sin. Now I pray you're sorry for your sins and you're assured of God's forgiveness. Your ex should also be sorry for sin and seek the Savior's forgiveness. You should encourage your ex to know the freedom that comes with Christ's word of forgiveness to a humble sinner. But finally, that's between your ex and God. Don't delay. Forgive your ex. A divorced person wrote to me this past spring and recounted the terrible details of her failed marriage. She closed the letter by saying, "I'm having a very hard time forgiving." I hope this message helps you. I pray it will help all of us. Amen.